Welcome to The Capital Connection, a weekly conversation on New York State government and politics. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for The Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's The Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party and a great favorite of this program, a man who speaks straight from the heart and gives us what he thinks. And thank you so much. Welcome, Ed Cox.
With an introduction like that, Alan, I'm ready to go.
So you talked about Governor Cuomo this week.
Yes,
and you said,
yes, indeed.
And I'm going to read you back your own words, or what I think are your own words. In this business, you never know. Quote, instead of spending time inside union halls, Governor Cuomo should take his bus to the main street across New York and speak to small business owners about the crushing impact at a 67% increase in the minimum wage would have on them. Okay, explain.
He has proposed a minimum wage of $15 an hour. Across our long border with Pennsylvania, the minimum wage is $7.23, which is the federal minimum wage, which will increase with inflation. If you have a business that has a significant amount of unskilled labor in it, where are you going to set up your business, in New York State or in Pennsylvania, let alone other states or other countries? We are competing in a global economy where there's a lot of hungry, unskilled workers. And for our unskilled workers to survive in that economy, they need the best job training program you can have, and that's a job. And that is something that has been set up, a structure for that of government supplements to help people who work at the minimum wage. At a minimum wage, you can compete for those businesses that use unskilled workers. They will hire those unskilled workers. But certainly here in New York, where an unskilled worker at a minimum wage of $9 an hour, you're earning about $20,000 a year. Poverty level is $24,000 a year. So you get supplements. And this goes back 40 years, the program, where you get supplements. It amounts after you include the earned income tax credit and the SNAP, that's the old food stamp program. It's much more simplified, easier to use. And Medicaid, you end up with basically an income, the equivalent of an income untaxed of $40,000 a year, which puts you at the start of the middle class and well over the poverty line. That's the way the system works. And it's been going on now for 40 years. It's much more important that our unskilled labor is working in a globalized economy that they have to compete in. And what Andrew Cuomo is basically saying, he's adopted a slogan that is 1199 SEIU slogan, and he just adopted it without really examining the impacts that it would have on unskilled jobs in New York State. And the impact is estimated to be hundreds of thousands of jobs lost if you establish a $15 minimum wage, which will be the highest, not just in the United States, but in the world. It does makes no sense at all, and his explanations for it don't make any sense at all. And it's going to destroy not only businesses that use unskilled labor, but small businesses upstate, Main Street. And so we are taking the lead. The state party is, and all of our 62 county organizations are taking the lead and getting grassroots educated about this and making known their political views to their legislators.
So, look, I don't want to give you a hard time, but, you know, I think you live somewhere around Park Avenue, and you make a lot of money. And
Now, wait a second. If you want to start arguing where people are, you know, just because I happen to live in New York City in a certain place, that doesn't work as an argument. Argue the program, Alan. Don't argue.
No. I'm not trying to be a hard case here. But just project yourself into somebody who's trying to raise three kids, you know, on $9 or $7 an hour. I don't know that it can be done.
Wait a second. You didn't hear what I said. You know what? I'm talking about a family of four with one bread earner who is working, let's say, 2,000 hours a year, okay? And that person will have an equivalent income of $40,000 a year, $20,000 from the minimum wage job, and an extra $20,000 from federal and state supplements that they get because they have a job and because of the SNAP program and because of Medicaid. And there are other supplements also, but that's just the basic supplements.
Okay, I hear you.
So they are really, so can they live on $40,000 a year? Yes. The answer is yes, they can, and they do. And then as they get skills and they get to be more skilled, then the supplements drop off, but they still have an incentive because they don't drop away immediately to keep getting more and more skilled and to move up the way the wage ladder. And that's the way we, rather than having our unskilled labor on the dole and creating a permanent underclass, this is a program that was put together by President Nixon and Moynihan. It was first signed into law by President Ford. Clinton beefed it up. It has now been agreed upon. The one thing that was agreed upon in this budget was to beef up that program, the Earned Income Tax Credit in particular. Speaker Ryan and President Obama agreed this is a program that works. And you know what Andrew Cuomo calls it? It's a tax scam. What are we doing supporting, giving these subsidies to workers at Walmarts or whatever? He is tossing over the side. He is defaming a program that his father promoted, as you well know, because you did many interviews with his father in New York State. And it's now part of New York State's had it for 15 years.
I know you're a great observer of Andrew Cuomo. Why is he behaving this way? He came on as a sort of fiscal conservative
exactly.
when he ran for office. And now all of a sudden he's
exactly.
tacking left, as you Republicans like to say when you're sailing your sailboats.
Oh, yeah. Guess what happened? His party went to the left. He's basically a DLCer, a Democrat Leadership Council, which Clinton was when he started running for president. In the early 90s, he was the chairman of the DLC. These were the moderate Democrats. They were fiscal conservatives, basically. And I remember he was then former President Clinton spending 10 minutes telling me how he was a real fiscal conservative as a governor in Arkansas and the way he outfoxed the legislature to make sure that they didn't get all these unnecessary programs, et cetera, because he was a fiscal conservative. He was proud of being a fiscal conservative. And frankly, Andrew Cuomo in 2010, you're right, he campaigned for the property tax cap, which was implemented. That was a Republican idea that started among our assembly members, Republican assembly members, adopted by Cuomo. And he was talking about we're going to balance the budget, close a $10 billion budget gap without increasing taxes. And in fact, he did that. But now his party has deserted. The DLC, the Democrat Leadership Council, disbanded in 2011, and the party is now the party of Bernie Sanders, and he wants to go on to national office.
You mean Cuomo? Cuomo wants to go on to it.
Andrew Cuomo, yeah. Andrew Cuomo wants to go on to the national office, and he also wants to survive. If he can't get national office, he wants to survive here in New York. In 2013, a so-called progressive mayor was elected in New York City, Mayor de Blasio, and Andrew Cuomo in 2014 could only get 60% in his own Democratic primary to get the nomination of his party in New York State to be governor. And he had to beg Mayor de Blasio to help him, and Mayor de Blasio went to bat for him so he could get the Working Families Party's nomination. Now, I don't think that Mayor de Blasio is going to do that again for him the way he's treated Mayor de Blasio since then. So he has to tack not just to the left, but far to the left, because he has to show that he is a true convert to quote-unquote progressivism. And he also needs the support of the one statewide union that he fears, and that's 1199 SEIU. And that's why he started, he announced this universal $15 minimum wage, which is a slogan of 1199 SEIU, fight for 15. So he just picked up the slogan, said, I'm all with you on the slogan, never taking a look at what the impacts would be. He is just driven by his political necessities and not thinking about what's good for the people of New York State. That's the tragedy.
So I saw a column this week in one of the tabloids by a guy I think who interviews you fairly regularly, who said that Cuomo's gearing up just in case Hillary doesn't make it to run for president. Is that possible?
Yes, it's very possible. As you saw, subpoenas have now gone out. Judge-ordered subpoenas just went out to her various aides in the State Department. And this is an ongoing major investigation. I've heard rumors that 150 FBI agents crawling all over it. This is not going to stop.
You mean the Hillary investigations over her email? Yeah, right.
Yeah, email. Well, they're rumored to have expanded to the foundation also.
The Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, the Clinton Foundation. You know, I've talked to State Department personnel that I know well, and they say if they had done what she and her husband did with matters that were before her as Secretary of State, they would have been fired immediately and indicted. And the way the Washington, the relevant laws work, whatever your spouse does is attributed to you. There's no doubt that Mr. Clinton was receiving fees for speaking to groups that had matters before her as Secretary of State. So she, in essence, was receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars from groups that she was making decisions with respect to whether or not they would get things that would help them do business here in the United States. And that's the cause for dismissal and criminal indictment. So I suspect that's being investigated also, and we could end up with a massive indictment of Mrs. Clinton. Now, if that happened, it just so happens that when Andrew Cuomo announced on September 9th his universal $15 universal minimum wage for New York State, guess who was standing next to him? Vice President Biden. Guess who was standing next to him when he announced his paid family leave program, which the business council said is going to be terrible for businesses in New York State? Guess who was standing next to him? Vice President Biden.
Well, so why wouldn't Vice President Biden be the candidate? That makes sense to me, standing in the wings if Hillary folds.
I mean, if you're President Obama, who would you want to be your candidate who would be most loyal to your legacy in their term as president, and who might in fact be the best candidate?
Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but if Joe Biden's a candidate, then Andrew Cuomo's not going to be the candidate.
But he'd be a good vice presidential candidate for him. I mean, idea of him running, of being presidential candidate here, I don't think fits in with that kind of a scenario of a massive indictment of Mrs. Clinton. It would fit in more with his thinking of running in 4 years in 2020. But that's, look, 4 years a long way off. I think Andrew Cuomo is thinking more immediately and providing for it. I think he'd like to get outside in New York. After all, he'd be running for a third term. Third terms are always harder than second terms that are harder than the first term. And it's a fourth Democratic term. This will have been a fourth term. You obviously have the Spitzer-Patterson term and plus 2 terms of Cuomo. And so it's going for a fourth Democratic term. And people will want change at that time. And appropriately so, the way Cuomo has conducted himself.
Hey, Ed Cox, I noticed that this morning as I was the very day, I was reading the paper and the Republican majority in the United States Senate said they're not going to consider anybody that the president puts up for the Supreme Court of the United States. And hey, that's what the Constitution says he should do. They say, well, no, he's lame duck. Well, what are you talking about, lame duck? He's still got a quarter of his term left. So why don't you answer that one?
Gee, Alan, weren't they quoting then-Senator Biden in 1992?
Well, it was different circumstances, but let's assume Biden got caught.
Weren't they quoting Senator Schumer in 2008?
But does that make it right? Does that make it right, even if the Democrats screwed up and said things like that?
I the Monday before his death.
Yeah.
Justice Scalia was here in New York City, and he gave a major address to the Economic Club, which I'm the secretary, and I was one of 2 formal questioners after his address. It's very formal, and I asked him, where I put a question to him, he responds to it after his address. And in the process, I took a look at his record and what he did, et cetera. And from his address, it was very interesting. His address really was a paean to democracy. It was important that the people have a say with respect to to judges. Now, judges were supposed to interpret the law. That was a thing. And when, in the middle of this whole thing, he said, I'm a lawyer and a damn good one, too. What he was saying, he was really being modest in that. He said, I'm just a lawyer. And I interpret the laws as they were meant by the people who passed them. And we have to be very careful to be responsive to what the people who passed those laws wanted, their intent. And he was decrying the way the courts worked in the European Union because they were not appointed by elected officials and the laws were done by commissions and not by elected officials and that kind of thing. And he's reading, for better or for worse, it's important to pay attention to democracy. I think he would want to have his vacancy be an issue in this campaign as part of it, an important issue, and that the election, in essence, would select a president who would then pick his successor.
Wait, the Constitution says the president shall, and then the Senate, which is controlled by your party, the Republicans, shall either say up or down, right? I mean, what is this business? We're not even going to consider it. That seems to me to be terrible.
They will consider it after the election, and this will be an issue in the election, and the people will decide who the president will be, who will do the nomination, and then they'll decide.
Okay, fair enough. But I think they're being stupid, and I'll tell you why. Because despite your, you know, potential Hillary indictment scenario, I think Hillary's going to be the candidate. I think she's going to win big in New York State.
By the way, not my indictment. That's not my scenario. I mean, whether it happens or not, Mike Mukasey, former Attorney General, has done an article about it. I mean, it's pretty well established that she's indictable, and how it fits in with the politics and all, difficult to tell. But it is a scenario that's out there, and I'm willing to bet it's in the back of Andrew Cuomo's mind, and that's why he's doing the things he's doing. So, I mean, it's a scenario that is out there, and I think it's a scenario that that Cuomo has been playing to, is my point.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised. I perfectly understand it, but you did interrupt the thrust of my very good question, which is, if Hillary does run, and if she's as popular as I think she's going to be in New York State, doesn't that mean the end of Republican control of the New York State Senate?
Don't know how that works. From my reading of the present tea leaves and the turnout, and for this period of time, presidential cycles, it makes sense. We have a Republicans statewide, I know that, but also nationally, especially nationally, we have a tremendous tailwind behind us. That if there is a slight recession, as the stock market may be projecting, it becomes a hurricane behind us.
But right now, all the news is good. Hey, right now, all the news is good. Everything we're reading about employment and everything else is pretty good, isn't it?
Well, unemployment figures are a lagging indicator, not a leading indicator. So put the unemployment figures aside. We could be going into a recession now and not know it. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I'm looking at it from a political point of view, and I got to admit that good economists who I talk to say no, they would agree with you that things are going well. On the other hand, if you take a look in the Iowa caucuses, we had a record, 185,000 turnout. The prior record was 4 years ago, where there were 122,000. A huge difference. The Democrats had fewer turnout than they had 4 years ago. We were 15% up in the turnout in the New Hampshire primary. They were about 13% down in the New Hampshire primary. Same in Nevada.
You have a huge contest going on. I don't know that it's as huge in the Democratic Party, although there will be people who criticize
me for saying
that.
Well, there's a huge one going on in the Democratic Party
as well. They're not turning out.
They're not. The energy is, to put it in modern and cinematic terms, the force is with the Republican Party now across the country.
Okay, now I have to ask you this question because we're running out of time, and it's very important indeed. We keep hearing and reading among the pundits that the establishment, that would be you, the establishment is against both Trump and Cruz in the Republican primary. Let's leave Cruz alone. He's not going to make it. But let's talk about Trump. What about it, Mr. Chairman? Can you handle it? Could you live with a Trump presidency?
Look, I live with a potential Trump governorship, so I can certainly live with a Trump presidency, of course. Whomever is our nominee, we're going to back and we're going to work hard to make sure that person is elected president of the United States.
And who are you personally supporting?
Alan, I love them all. And I want them all.
I love all my children.
Here. Well, no, I love all the candidates. They're not my children. I love all our candidates because, look, my job here is to build up the party in this blue state. And we've been doing that brick by brick now for 6 years.
Yep.
And we've built layers of Republican elected officials upstate in particular. And now we're working very hard here in the city, starting with building the party as a platform. And then you probably saw the recent report that just came out on Monday that the RNC is going to be training boots on the ground here in New York City and throughout the state, and they're going to put, this is the first time they have done that, so we've got really superb operatives. Yes, they'll be used, some of them, in the presidential operation in swing states, but they will be back here to work in the mayor's race, and they're going to come from every ethnic group around the city and around this state. So, you know, things are going on here, therefore, building the party. And with respect to what we have structured our primary, so it's on April 19th, and the last big number of primaries are on March 15th. And between March 15th and April 19th, that five-week period, they call it the spring break, quote-unquote, when there are only four primaries, and the other three are small. You've got Wisconsin, you've got Utah, you've got Arizona, and then you've got 95 delegates on April 19th, the only primary. And so in that five-week period, we expect, and the primary takes place in each congressional district, so we expect the candidates to be campaigning all around the state in each congressional district, and that's going to be very exciting for the grassroots of the party, excitement that they haven't had in years. They are really playing a part in selecting the next president of the United States. That's what it's about.
So when we're reading, and we only have 2 minutes, but when we're reading in the paper that the Republican establishment doesn't want Trump, is that not true?
I'm still looking for the establishment.
You don't think there is an establishment? I was once interviewing Mario Cuomo when he said that there was no mafia. And now you're saying there is no establishment.
Well, I'm not sure I'd make the equivalence of the mafia to Republicans, but it's hard to find the establishment, which is good. We are the majority party now. We've got more legislative seats across the country than we ever had. We've got more governorships than we've ever had. We have more complete state houses, that's legislatures and governorships, than we've ever had. We've got a huge majority, historic majority in the House of Representatives, and in 2014, we finally got control of the Senate. This has been building up over a six-year period, and New York has been right in the middle of it. We went from 2 members of Congress to 9 members of Congress. So this is a very exciting time to be a Republican, Alan.
And we only have a minute left now, and I guess it would be deficient. It would not be right to ask you to finally answer that question. Will the state Senate go Republican?
It will.
It'll stay Republican.
We won that 52nd Senate district. The last poll showed we were winning with 70%. Our unknown candidate, undersheriff, against Andrew Cuomo's handpicked candidate. And we won with 77%. People turned out. They were anxious to turn out, like it's happened all across the country. And that was, for me, that's a canary in the coal mine, by the way, for Andrew Cuomo's political future here in New York State, the fact that we won that. Same thing will happen with the Nassau seat.
It's always wonderful to talk to our very good friend, Ed
good
Cox.
Talk to you,
and,
Alan.
And if, Ed, if I gave you in any way a hard time, you know, I want to apologize in advance.
Alan, you never give me a hard time. It's always a good conversation.
So that you'll come back again. Okay.
You bet.
Ed Cox, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to talk to you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.